and just keep believing, like, you know, you're not going to see the fruits of that, you know, right away in most cases, but you just have to be persistent.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
It doesn't matter. Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 19. I'm Adam Comer, as you can see.
And I'm Ryan Chittister. Just kidding.
She's kidding. It's not Ryan Chittister.
Definitely not.
Nope. Carl Krohn here, and I've got my sister Catherine with me today. And we're gonna talk to you guys about redemption and what that's looked like for us. Right? Yeah. Welcome to the studio, Catherine.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here,
Carl. Yeah. Just a fun fact. My sister's always gone by Katie her whole life, and I always went by Christian because our dad's Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going by Carl later in life, and she started going by Catherine later in life.
Yeah. Stepped into my identity.
Ooh.
Kim.
Yeah, I like words like that. We're going to talk a little bit about redemption today and just what that's looked like in our lives. And all glory be to God. He's brought us much further than we could have ever gotten on our own, you know?
Or imagine was possible, at least on my end.
Talk to him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I want to start us out with this definition. So whenever I was trying to think of, you know, what we could talk about, I decided to start out by looking up the definition of redemption. And there's two definitions. The first one is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. Then the second one is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. And I read that and I thought, that's interesting. In that first definition, I see myself, right? And you and anybody else who's come to the Lord. We are saved. We are being saved and we will be saved.
Amen.
And then the second one, though, I see Jesus in that. The action of regaining or gaining possession of something, us, in exchange for payment, which he paid the biggest price.
Amen.
His only son. So I just thought that was very interesting and beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely. It made me think, could you reread that second definition one more time?
The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for a payment or clearing a debt.
Yeah. No. The reason I wanted you to reread it was, I was just going to say, when I first got to S2L, I came here without any ideas really as far as like what else to do except give God everything. Mm-hmm. I had encountered Jesus, you know, when I was like 20 or so. I was in a relationship at that time in my life and had started pursuing Jesus a little bit, but I encountered him in my car. And
I remember that.
You do.
I remember you telling me about it. I was not there, but you said you had to like pull off the side of the road.
Yeah, I don't remember.
On 465, I feel like maybe
I
you didn't.
Pulling off the side of the road, but I called everybody on my phone. Maybe I don't know, dude. He came and met me in my car, and it's just that moment where you know he's the Son of God. You know, you're like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
By the time I got to S2L, I had denied that experience for so long.
Right.
That you know, it was just such a distant memory. And anyway, so I just had a night here, over at the lodge in my little bunk bed. And I don't know, you know, you've never been there, but like, you know, you like walk into a basement, there's bunk beds everywhere, and they're just like cramped, you know, it's like close quarters. It's like, man, this is my life now for a little bit, you know.
Yep.
And
humbling.
Yeah, humbling, absolutely. But I was laying in bed one night, and I went through all the times I should have died. Like I just wrote them all down in this notebook, and I've got that notebook still. Mom actually gave it to me last time I saw her. She had it with her, but
okay.
And So
long list.
Yeah, it was a long list. And by the time I got to the end, what I realized is that I belonged to Jesus, because that was somehow in my spirit, my heart, in my mind. In that moment, it was like, this is the only way I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And so my thought process in that moment was, if I belong to him, that means that he purchased me.
Mm.
And so bought with a price, right?
Yeah.
Redeemed. And that was the moment that I realized I was redeemed when I came to Estoril. But yeah, so that's a good definition.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you want to talk about the different areas where we have seen his redemption in our lives?
And, absolutely.
I mean, it's funny to think back to, because even sometimes, you know, in those moments, you know, we even realize that he was working, but he was working, you know. So the first one I have was just, you know, our family as a unit, you know. Immediately made me think of Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it.
Come on.
Right? So, you know, before salvation, right? Forgive me, I have to look at my notes. But just kind of, you know, what our relationship towards mom and dad was like.
Or even each other.
Or even each other, yeah. I mean, lies, deception, avoiding each other, that it was at least me more to everybody else, you know, neglecting, stealing, taking advantage of, you know, we were just broke and there was such a disconnect. I think that, you know, all they knew was to pray, right?
Right.
Didn't really know what to do. And I know I wasn't really willing, you know, I didn't desire anything besides things that were selfish at that point. So, you know, and just fully expectant and fully and expectantly reliant, like entitlement kind of.
That's such, you know, it's
because if anything happens, like, mom and dad's got this.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just very unfair, very selfish. Said whatever to, you know, get what I wanted, or, you know, appease them, you know. But now, after salvation, what the family unit relationship looks like is communication and vulnerability and honesty and working together, you know, for the same goal, you know.
Absolutely.
Connected again.
Yeah, we're connected in a way we never have been before.
Never have been before, really.
No.
You're right.
Yeah, it's different now. That contrast is so true.
Yeah.
I wanted to, when you were talking about that entitlement, that word really stuck out to me, because you know, I was the same way. I operated the same way. I always knew that I had a safety net to fall back on with mom and dad in the midst of drug addiction, right? I lied, I cheated, I stole, from my family, from my sister, from my aunt, from my uncle, from my parents, from anybody I could, really. I just wanted to, just mention that we didn't have like a rough childhood, guys.
Nope.
We've made some pretty savage decisions along the way. It's part of our story of redemption, right? I was a full blown heroin addict at one point, you know, putting needles in my arm. Katie, you know, she's been to jail a number of times. She's, you know, got a number of DUIs. She's, heck, man, you drove into a McDonald's one night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of which time.
Praise God. I say all that to say, mom and no, hallelujah. I say all that to say that mom and dad didn't do anything wrong. They did everything that they knew what to do. They tried to love us to the best of their ability. It was not their fault. It was not my parents' fault that I was a heroin addict at one point in my life before I have been redeemed, right? No longer do I identify as a heroin addict. I don't go to meetings and say, hey, my name is Carl and I'm a heroin addict. I don't, bro, I'm, that part of my identity is so far removed at this point in my life. It's not even on, dude, it's not even on the radar. Like,
right.
It's just not on the radar for me anymore. It's no longer part of my identity, and only Jesus can do that.
Dead and gone.
Man, it's just so crazy. Yeah. And mom and dad, like Katie was saying, those prayers were all they really knew what to do. And I was actually talking to mom recently, and dad as well. And what I said to them was so funny. I think this is for somebody out there, actually. Do you know when everything changed? Everything changed for me in my life and Katie's, Catherine, when mom and dad let go.
Yeah, that's good. That's true.
They finally let go. They finally realized that they had no control over the decisions I was making. They finally realized they had no control over the decisions that my sister was making. We were literally killing ourselves before their very eyes, and mom and dad are literally watching us die. I mean, we would come home. Both of us are guilty of this one. We'd come home, right? We'd go to mom and dad's house, high as kites or hammered drunk, and we'd sit there and we'd lie to their face. No, I'm fine.
It's so obvious. They'll never know.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, dad has this video of me where I'm like falling asleep, and he's like, "You all right? You do anything tonight?" I'm like, no. I fall asleep. And I literally, like, in my mind was thinking.
Killing the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, dad. I'm fine.
That really is so good, though, because, you know, sometimes when we have our hands on things, it blocks God's ability to do his thing, you know? Mm. So, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And
hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. They'll testify to it too now, which is a beautiful thing. You know, don't be afraid to let your hands off of it. I know it's hard. I've talked to my mom and I've talked to my dad about it, right? It's, you know, it's your child. You want to protect them. You want to provide for them. You want to care for them. You want to give them everything that you can. To make them know that they're loved. But if they're in the middle of an addiction and they're killing themselves, the best thing that you can do is let go.
Yeah.
Let go and let God, man. Let go and let God. We have to give him the situation. And then, like Katie said, like Catherine said, man,
it's okay. You can call me Katie.
All right. The best thing that they can do is pray. And I just think that's really good.
And just keep believing, like, you know, you're not going to see the fruits of that, you know, right away in most cases, but you just have to be persistent.
Amen.
His word is like a hammer.
Breaks the rock in pieces.
Come on.
Woo!
Doesn't take, you know, usually takes a couple times, but you just got to keep hitting it.
Okay. I've never seen that imagery in my mind before. Hallelujah. Yeah. Huh. That's good. Whoa. Yeah, I just got some revelation. Praise God.
I felt it, and I don't have it.
All right.
What's up, guys? This is Ryan and Carl. We just wanted to bring you our newest drops here that you can find on S2L.net. So this is our hoodie, our new limited edition. It's the greatest, softest, best merch in the game. So we'd like you to go out and purchase one of those. All the proceeds and the funds go to our scholarship fund to help guys, fund guys to get into our program. So we would greatly appreciate it. Carl has on our Live Free Freedom tees. So you can also locate those on S2L.net. We love you guys. We thank you for your support.
Yep.
And we love Jesus.
Come on, bro. And last year, man, we had more scholarships distributed than ever before. So we want to keep that going, man. We want to help people continue to find the same freedom that Jesus gave to us, man. So go out and support us, man. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.
Amen.
His word is like a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces, right? And when she said that, it's like, You just keep putting God's word on the situation.
Yes.
You keep declaring God's promises over your situation. You keep praying over the situation. It takes a while for a hammer to break the rock in pieces, mm-hmm. right? Wow, that's good. That's really...
Amen.
Praise you, God. But you know, breaking the rock in pieces, there's a story of when you were, you know, overdosing and on fentanyl, mm-hmm. In the van with mom at one point. And at this point I was already here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was already at S2L.
I was living in Fishers.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have no memory of that moment. I just remember waking up in your bed at mom and dad's house, which is now, you know, a guest room.
Oh, but, word.
Yeah, and mom was laying next to me, and yeah. I remember, yeah, it was not good. She was trying to get my stuff, and I was trying to fight her back for it, and then I fell back asleep and woke up, like, that night. But I had no memory of even going and being there with her, you know. And, yeah, the sad thing is I knew what was in it, you know, but still, like, I was just at a point where I really did not care if I lived or died. I was miserable every single day, you know, and, you know, it was just not good, but praise God we're past that. That was right before I, you know, decided to just, you know, I was at the lowest, there was nowhere to go but up, and decided to, you know, make that first step to change my life. Really not even believing that it was going to change, though, which is, you know, the crazy part. I was like, yeah, I'll go. Okay. You know. But anyway. Yeah,
I remember that morning when I came to get you at Aunt Carol's house.
Yeah.
It was like, early, bro. It was like early in the morning, and I came over to like get you, and man, you were living in darkness, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked in, and you know, the room was trashed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was early in the morning, and you know, I had been at S2L for a while, and Jesus had, you know, redeemed me. He had taken my old identity and given me a new one, and I could see him look, I could see him doing it in your life. Like, he gave me this beautiful grace gift of faith where I knew without a doubt he was going to change your life.
Yeah.
And so it was frustrating for me because like you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But I knew it here and here, head, heart and spirit. But,
yeah, you had I remember just so much joy, you know, you were like, let's go, I'm ready for this, you know, and I was like,
I'm glad that's what you remember, because I remember cussing you out.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that's confession, cussed her out. Yeah.
Guilty.
And we hopped in the car. We hopped in the car and we started driving to Alabama to a recovery place that, you know, the Lord had placed in our path. I don't even remember the name of it.
Beauty for Ashes.
That's right. Yeah. Shout out Sam Smith. Much love, my brother. Yes. And anyway, we were driving and the car breaks down on the side of the road. Do you remember that?
Sure don't.
So we're driving and the car breaks. No. We go to the gas station to get gas. That's what happened. We were driving on the way to Alabama from Indianapolis, which is where I drove up to go get Katie, and we're headed down to Alabama, and I stopped to get gas, and so I put gas in the car and tried to start it up, and it wouldn't start up. It wouldn't start up. The car wouldn't start up. And so I was like, hey man, there's this guy over, you know, this house. I was like, hey, can you jump the car for us? And he's like, yeah, no problem. Cool. So he comes up, he tries to jump the car, and nothing happens. The car won't start. Long story short, he's like, yeah, I think you need a starter or something. I'm like, not today, Satan. I was like, I know the Lord has provided my sister this opportunity to get out of her old life. And I was like, we are not stopping here in Jesus' name. And I started praying over that car. I started praying over that old Impala. Man, I can't believe you don't remember that.
I know. I was just, I wish I did.
Bro, and that sucker started right up.
Amen.
So, well, I prayed over it a few times.
Well, we made it there.
We made
thank you. Long story short.
Long story short. Yeah, so... Before that, though, I remember you, Mom and Dad coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I had been here for a while, and you, Mom and Dad came to visit, and we stayed at this cabin on Center Hill Lake. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. And
it was.
This is right after that overdose on the fentanyl.
Yeah.
But before the Alabama trip.
Yes.
You were just coming to visit. And, wow, this beautiful, bright and shining, Holy Spirit-filled woman that y'all see in front of you today is not who came to visit me that weekend at all. Why don't you tell us about that weekend, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, I just remember feeling extremely awkward. Like,
why?
Because I just, I felt just, I don't even know, just, I remember you saying that you hugged me and you just felt like a dead, just like bag of flesh. And I remember being around you, like, I didn't even know how to communicate with you. And I was just so oppressed. I was paranoid. I was just all these things just felt like so distant, even though I was present, like I wasn't present, you know?
Mm.
But I remember that night you hugged me and you prayed over me. I don't even remember everything you prayed. I remember going to church the next day, and that message Pastor Jeff gave. And again, you know, I don't even remember everything he said or everything it was about, but it was just like piercing me. Like I just felt like every, like God was speaking directly to me, and I just felt this pull. And at the end, he gave an altar call, and I just got up. I remember putting my hand on your back and just feeling you like sobbing, you know, and I went to the front and spoke with the lady and said I wanted to get baptized. I just felt that call. And I did. And I still was like, I don't know. I was so like, I did not want to let go of my old self, but I know that I had to, and there was a better life for me. And I could, you know, he was clearly speaking to me. So I answered that. And, yeah, got baptized in the neighbor's pool. It was great. But, yeah, I just, even through like these stories, I guess, like I wanted to touch on like how I was like, I always seemed to like follow in your footsteps,
mm-hmm.
right? Initially, it was, you know,
older brother.
Yeah. And it was just
crazy.
A lot of enabling each other. And I just, you know, found myself in like that downward spiral where things just got worse, worse, worse. And same for you, you know, you were getting worse in addiction, and I was, you know, right there, you know, next to you. Mm-hmm. Obviously mm-hmm. we were living completely separate lives, but we were both just headed down. And then I remember, you ended up going to S2L, and I remember the first time I talked to you was on FaceTime, and you just, I was like, who is this? Like, everything that you were saying to me was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, you know, sitting in my room drinking, I'm sure, like, I don't even know what to talk to you about anymore. Like, I loving seeing you, you know, but then you were able to reach out your hand to me and encourage me, like, to better myself. And, you know, I think, is it like 7 months is the difference in whenever we started
something
recovery?
Like that.
Yeah. But
6 or 7 months, something like that.
Yeah. And, so I guess just,
wow.
You know, and we're still going up, and, but I'm just, you know, I'm so thankful for you, brother. Cause I really probably wouldn't be here right now without you, you know, encouraging wow. me in that. And
that's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy how God works. And hallelujah that I was able to reach out a hand for you and be like, hey, this is what Jesus did for me, sis. He
yeah.
set me free. He made me into a new creation, right? Mm-hmm. The old is gone, the new has come, and all that.
I saw that in you. You know, I wanted it. I wanted right. the same for myself.
Yeah. What the crazy thing when you were talking about that to me just now was how you said that I reached out a helping hand for you. Because I can look back. So just to give you an idea about present day, I serve here at Spring to Life. I'm the producer at our studio. I get to teach classes. I get to life coach men. I get to extend that hand that she's talking about to, right. to other guys that, you know, come to us as broken and hopeless as I was. I'm going to school at Williamson College for a degree in ministry leadership because that's something that the Lord's asked me to do. And I spent my whole life telling him no, so I'm going to spend the rest of my life saying yes.
Yeah.
And that's just a little snapshot. And for her, she's actually going to school at the Ramp School of Ministry in Alabama. It's a super powerful ministry that the Lord's using to raise up generations and send them out into the earth to see revival break out because, that's just
we
what...
We
need it desperately. And I very much believe we're about to see a move of God in the earth as, you know, never before that we've seen. And it's just crazy how he's called our names out of the pits of hell to be a part of what he's doing in the earth and to come alongside of the heavens and taking back the kingdom, you know. And anyway, she went through a place called House of Mercy. Shout out House of Mercy. Praise God for House of Mercy.
Amen.
You trying to give everybody a shout out?
Everybody? Pastor and Miss Roma, I love you. Daniela, best house mom ever.
Come on, talk to them.
All the ladies, I love you. Yeah. Mm. No, I mean, that place really changed my life. And the rehabs before that.
I don't want to get too far off. I don't want to get too far off because there's something, there's a thought happening up here. So shout out House of Mercy. And so she hit House of Mercy, found freedom there, then ends up going to school. I'm serving here. I'm going to school. But before I was able to reach out a hand to her, long before that, she reached out her hand to me. It's just funny how the Lord does that stuff. You know, full circle. There was a time in life when I was earlier. You know, I was in college, and I like she was saying, I guess like the escalation of the chaos in my life just continued to progress. And anyway, you know, I was experimenting. I did pills in high school, right? I smoked weed and drank and partied really hard. And then I got into college and it's like, man, like, let's start doing some acid, you know, let's do the next, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's always dot, dot, dot. That's the thing. It's always, it's never enough. Any sinful desire is never enough. And I can testify to that. But
me too.
I took too much acid and I fried my brain just completely, I fried my brain. I was like a vegetable for, 8 months of my life. Mm-hmm. My sister was there for me when I had no one else, because basically what happened to me was, you know, I was unable to function as a human being. I couldn't dress myself. I couldn't think my way through things or interact socially with people. Like, it was bleak. And you were there for me when I needed you. Yeah. And so it's just crazy how the Lord does that and, you know, how I was able
to
be there.
It's beautiful, but it is wild. That's how we first, I feel like, started to become close, because I was like your safety blanket, kind of. Like, I remember going out in public and I was like, you know, we saw somebody that we knew and Dad's like, go talk to him. And you were like, I'm not going there without you. Like, come with me. You know, I think in your mind it was so much... you know, whatever. You made it through it.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. We've made it through it.
Come on.
Sole Deo Gloria, glory be to God alone. In wrapping up, man, I love you.
I love you.
I love you bunches. She drove all the way out here from Alabama just to shoot this for us.
Yes. Worth it.
It is worth it. it's worth it because we get to tell of the glory of God in our life and the redemption that we've experienced.
And continuing to.
No means have I arrived. Let me make that very clear. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I press on towards what is ahead, right? Just like yes. Paul talks about. I do know that the Lord's given us a ministry of reconciliation, right? The God of all comfort comforts us in our afflictions so that we might comfort the next person. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, right? And, I see you doing that. I see me doing that. I see us doing that together. I see the Lord doing that through us right now. I guess my prayer is that hope is stimulated for you today. You don't lose heart. If you have a loved one that's going through an addiction right now, if you have a sister or a brother, man, let go and let God. It's nothing that I did to get to be in this place in this relationship with my sister. Things are better now than they've ever been, and they continue to get better. Like, it's crazy. I'll reach out and get to talk to her, and she'll reach out and pray for me. And we do that for each other. It's so crazy. We get to talk about, hey man, just the other day, you're like, man, I had an encounter with God at church, and man, I've never felt freedom like this. And he just does that. He takes us from glory to glory and faith to faith. There's that misconception, that lie from the enemy where, you just plateau in your walk with him, and man, no. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It's glory to glory and faith to faith. Our relationship with God always gets better. We get to talk about that stuff instead of.
Yeah. And I feel like, if you're the one who is struggling with something, we can't do this on our own. Like, I feel like we try to do everything in our own strength, right? And we can't. It'll never, ever succeed. And especially for me, in addiction, it's all about that instant gratification. And, this redemption, this takes time. It does, it's not like everything's better overnight, right. But, just to lay it down at the foot of the cross and trust in the Lord, seek him out, he is with you even when you don't know that he is with you, singing victory over you. If you are alive, you have a purpose, and you're here for a reason. So I don't, there's that nugget, I guess, but there is hope. It does get better. I couldn't, like I was saying, I didn't really believe that it ever would, but he gives us more than we could ask, think, or imagine, right? Like, this has only been almost 2 years for me. And it's like, man, what is the next 5 years going to look like? Wow. I'm not even going to try to guess, because his plans are way, way better than mine, So. I love you.
I love you too. Wow. Praise God. I love you, man. It just rocks me seeing Jesus speak through my sister, guys. I it's hard to process. God is super good.
He's understatement super good. Of the year.
That's all the time we got today. And today, thank you for being here, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
I love you, and hopefully we can get her back. But that's all the time we got. That's Life After Addiction. God bless you. We love you.
Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Recovery. If you have any questions you'd like answered on the podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@springlife.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit s2lrecovery.org.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.